Very warm welcome to our service this morning, and particularly warm welcome to Kate and Simon. Kate's here to take our service this morning and is what's called preaching with a squint. So we'll see how that goes. But thank you very much, Kate, for coming. We did have a false start a few weeks ago when she wasn't very well, so we're really glad that you were able to get here despite the snow and all the possible things that might have gone wrong. So that's brilliant. There will be a bring and shared lunch happening after the service, starting at about 12:30. If you've not come expecting to bring and share, in other words, if you haven't brought any food, that's probably fine. Just you know, talk to me or I don't know. Are you coordinating, you guys? There will be a Thursday Bible study happening this week. Speak to Mel for details. Should we assume it's at the Holmes' house? Yeah. Speak to Mel if you... Mel will give you more details about that. Are there any other notices that anybody else is aware of? No. Brilliant. Great. Kate, hand over to you. Thank you very much.
Well, good morning, everyone.
It's great to be here this morning, and I hope you're as excited as me that we've managed to make it. Maybe that was the wrong thing to say, but we were driving here in a snowstorm thinking this is something going on here that is beyond our control. And it's good to be here. I feel it's been a long time coming, and I've been excited about coming to be with you. I hope this morning that as we come together, that you won't let the distractions of the cold and everything like that get in the way of us worshipping God, because we come as a people here, as a family here, not just to be together and enjoy each other's company, but to come and worship God, who enables us to get up this morning and breathe new breath. And I think that's great, that every morning we wake up and God gives us breath to breathe. So we're going to stand together, if we could all just stand right now. And we're going to sing and worship the living God who is here among us. We're going to sing number 145, Great is the Lord. We worship a great God, and not just a God who stands in heaven and looks down on us, but a God who came down and showed his love for us. It says in John, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." We continue to sing and to worship this God who came among us. So for those of you who sat down, I do apologise. Please stand up again. We'll sing number 897. As we remain standing, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that this morning as we gather together, you are with us, that you have come with us and you're with us now. And Lord, I ask that as we meet together and continue to be in your presence, that your spirit would move among us and that you would draw us towards yourself. And I pray, Lord, that as we worship you, you would speak to us and we would know that you are the living God. For I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I have to say that in the mornings I get a little bit peckish. I have my breakfast and I get up, and then 10 minutes later I'm thinking, oh, fancy a little bit of something. So I don't know, is there anyone else here who gets a bit peckish in the morning, fancy something to eat? Yeah? About three people. Okay, so what I thought I'd do this morning, because, you know, there might be a few of us who are hungry, so I thought I'd bring a few packets of crisps. So we have here a salt and vinegar big bag, for those of you who are extremely hungry. And a cheese and onion big bag, again, for the hungry ones. And then we have corn cocktail. Everyone like corn cocktail? Oh, your favourite. Ready salted, that classic flavour. Not so many. Oh, come on then. Now, smoky bacon. I'm never sure on smoky bacon. You like smoky bacon?
Thank you.
They have changed the flavours, haven't they?
I love
know which is which. Who thinks they can do that? Anyone? You've had your hand up the whole time. Would you like to come out? Okay.
I should tell you, the name's Chris Smith, because he's got Christmas in.
Yeah.
Right.
actually what's on the back. So let's just run through those results again. This is what I did. The first bag, which you thought was cheese and onion, was actually cheese and onion. Yay! The second bag, which you thought was
salt vinegar,
was actually salt vinegar. The third bag, which you thought was
smoked bacon.
Well, that was actually roast chicken. And the fourth bag, which you thought was that was actually smoky bacon. Okay, so the next bag, the fifth bag, you thought was
roast chicken.
Actually, prawn cocktail. And the sixth bag,
roast chicken.
Actually, ready salted. But you know, I don't think you did too bad. What do you reckon? Do you think that deserves a little bit of a prize?
Yeah.
Let me see if I've got any prizes.
Two
out of six. Well done, and you get a little bag of sweets.
Thank you.
At random. Okay. You see, I spent hours, and I mean hours, with my double-sided sticky tape and rolling the bag, swapping the crisps around. Because you see, you can't tell from the outside what's inside. You just have to trust what's on the outside of the bag. But actually, the inside is very different. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a letter which was sent to a church in Thessalonica. And it's a letter that's in the Bible, but I happen to have intercepted the letter, the original. And I'm going to read a section from it, because it talks about people who have been changed on the inside. So this is our reading from today, from 1 Thessalonians 1:1-10, but I have the original letter. It says, from Paul, Silas and Timothy, so it's from Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the church in Thessalonica, the church in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and mention you when we pray. We continually recall before God our Father the things you have done because of your faith, and the work you have done because of your love. And we thank him that you continue to be strong because of your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. They believe in Jesus. They've been changed inside. Brothers and sisters, it says, God loves you. And we know he has chosen you because the good news we brought you came not only with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with sure knowledge that it is true. Also, you know how we lived when we were with you in order to help you. And you became like us, and like the Lord. You suffered much, but still you accepted the teachings with the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. So you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and southern Greece. And the Lord's teaching spread from you, not only into Macedonia and southern Greece, but now your faith in God has become known everywhere. So we do not need to say anything about it. People everywhere are telling about the way you accepted us when we were with you. They tell how you stopped worshipping idols and began to serve the living and true God, and you wait for God's Son, whom God raised from the dead, to come from heaven. He is Jesus, who saves us from God's angry judgment that is sure to come. It's a great start to a letter, and it talks to people who have been changed inside. They're different inside because of Jesus, just like crisps are different on the inside. And I'm sure that many of us can relate to that as well. We can say, well, yes, I've been changed on the inside because of what Jesus has done, because I now believe in him. So we're going to have another time of worship, of singing to God, thanking him for the things that he has done inside our lives. Maybe some of you can think in your mind about some of the things that Jesus has done inside your life, the way that he's changed you. And we're going to sing about that. Now, we've got two songs which I believe will appear on the overhead, and we'll just go from one song to the next. So let's stand together. Please be seated. Now, I have to say that whenever I go somewhere new, I like to try out a little bit of a trick. on people. Not a nasty trick, a little bit of a magic trick. I hope you don't have a problem with that. Anyone? Good. And normally, you know, people do magic tricks and they get a big pack of cards and they say, choose a card. And someone chooses a card and then they flick through the pack and then they fiddle around and by that time you've forgotten what your card is and then you're wondering why they're doing the trick in the first place. So, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make it simple. All I have is two envelopes. And in them I have four queens. Four queens in this envelope, four queens in this envelope. So, the queen of hearts, spades, diamonds, clubs in both of these envelopes. And I have four queens from a red back set of cards and four queens from a blue back set of cards. Simple? Good, okay. And all I need is someone who is familiar with cards to help me. This might be an older person or a younger person. Or would you like to? You can stay where you are. Yes, you can. Get yourself comfortable. And all you need to do is choose a queen. Queen of hearts, queen of spades, queen of clubs, queen of diamonds.
Okay.
Oh, and tell me.
Tell
me.
Yes. I'll tell you, the queen of hearts on the blue back.
No, sorry. Oh, I've chosen the wrong person.
The queen of hearts.
The queen of hearts.
I'll tell you the back.
No, we're just the queen. The queen of hearts. Excellent. Oh, this makes me nervous anyway. You just don't know what state I'm in now. Okay, queen of hearts. And just a colour. Red or blue?
Blue.
Blue. Okay. I'm going to place this envelope down here. Queen of hearts, blue. So if I'm any good at this, I should take these out and they should be blue. I get very nervous. Okay, so I take them out and, oh, they're red. Not a problem, not a problem. Don't worry, don't worry. Don't feel nervous for me. You're not. Okay, red. Okay, so if I, it's all right, fan these out, we've got all red. Oh, except there's the Queen of Hearts. Is that what you chose?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you want blue?
I did like blue, yeah.
So you wanted the Queen of Hearts. But blue is fine. actually, it's the only queen in that pack. Interested me enough. Did you like that? Thank you. I'm much relieved. I've been so frightened all morning.
Should
I? Is that good?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because there's this man and he's really good at magic.
Oh, well, that would be good then. I could go on it. But I'd be very scared, wouldn't I? I don't think I should be on Tricky TV.
Yeah, but it is full magic.
Well, yes. Well, that's good. Well, you see, the reason I did this, there is a reason. There is a reason that I did this. I did it because, actually, I think this queen is a little bit like the people in the church at Thessalonica. You might think, why? Well, I will explain. Because, you see, although the letter starts off by talking about how the people have been changed inside, just like the crisps were changed inside, how they had heard the good news about Jesus, how they had heard the Easter story, everything that Jesus had done, and how they'd been filled with power and with the Holy Spirit, and how the combination of these two things, power and the Word, had come together to totally change them inside, so that now they were filled with faith and love and hope. That's what the letter says. And they were totally new inside. Even though the letter starts off by talking about this, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't say, oh, brilliant, you were filled with Jesus Christ and you're now new, go away, have a party and enjoy it. The letter doesn't say that. It carries on. It carries on to say something really important. And the important thing is this, that it says, although the people have been changed on the inside, That change now has to be seen on the outside. The letter continues, these people are being changed on the inside, but that has to be seen on the outside. And that's what's happened here in the church at Thessalonica, because the letter goes on and it says, you see, now the people no longer look like everyone else all around them. They no longer just do what they want all the time like everyone else does. They no longer just live an easy life going away from place to place. In fact, the letter's quite specific. It says they no longer go around worshipping idols, which is what everyone else in the area did. Instead, because they've been changed on the inside, they now live their lives for God. They now do everything they can to follow God, so that they no longer blend in, but just like this queen here, they stand out so that everyone can see that actually they're very different from everyone else around. This letter which we read, this letter which I intercepted in the post, is talking about a complete change that has occurred in everyone's life, in the whole of their lives in that church at Thessalonica. And you know, I have to say, I love the start of this letter. I would love to receive a letter which says something like this. Because, you know, it's a very encouraging letter because it shows just what Jesus can do. Not just for the people who first received the letter, the people in Thessalonica, but for all people, for you and for me as well. Because, you know, basically it shows the power of Jesus. How Jesus can take people's lives, anyone's life, our lives, and how he can take a life that maybe is content, plodding along, going around from day to day, enjoying itself, or he can maybe take a life that might be quite lonely, or a life that's unhappy, or a life that's depressed, or, you know, one of those bog standard lives like I lead that just plods along. He can take a life like that, and he can transform it, totally transform it, not just on the inside to create a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling every Sunday, but on the outside as well, so that our lives are completely different, inside and out. And I think that's brilliant. I don't know about you, but I think that's a great thing that can happen. But, you know, then I started to think, well, hold on. If the people in this letter here have been changed on the inside so that it changes them on the outside, and if Jesus can do that for everyone, whether they were back in this day or whether they're here today, and if this letter is relevant for us, as I think it is, then surely we should be changed on the inside to the extent that we're different on the outside too. Surely we should, as a church here, be people who stand out in our community, being different to everyone else. And then I thought, well, if that's true, how do we do that? How can we do that? And I had an idea. Oh, yes. It's a revolutionary idea. I thought I'd try it out on you not here. What do you think? It's something that will show that if Jesus has changed your life, it will show on the outside and everyone will be able to see. Now, I must admit, there are things like this in the shops, but my particular ones are unique. I bring with me today something I call Jesus jewellery. Okay? And when you wear it, oh my goodness, everyone will see how different you are. So, first of all, I have my necklace, which I designed myself. What do you think? It's a prototype, so, you know, obviously it needs some improvement. Do you like my necklace? Yeah? Okay, don't worry. I have some bracelets as well. First bracelet. Oh, I always put it on upside down. That's right. First bracelet. People will know I've been changed by Jesus if I wear this. Second bracelet. Thought I'd go for a more subtle one. Of course, you have to walk around like this. What do you think? Do you like it now? No. Okay, well, maybe this will just swing it for you. Maybe not have sterner stuff, couldn't we?
Yes.
Do you know, I don't think you're really being honest, I have to say. Because, you know, if I walk down the street in this...
Hello? Hello?
We all would laugh.
What? You're right. I agree. Everyone would laugh at me. They'd think, ridiculous. They'd think I was weird, wouldn't they? If I walk down the street in this, people probably wouldn't come near me. They would. They'd think I was weird. And they'd probably cross the street and avoid me. I have to say, I mean, some people might think, actually, she looks quite cool. But most people would think I was weird. They wouldn't think, ooh, this person's been changed dramatically, and now we can all see it. They'd think I was weird. And that started me thinking, maybe I'm on the wrong track. Maybe this isn't what the letter meant by wearing Jesus' jewellery. Because, you see, the people in Thessalonica, they weren't thought of as weird. And they certainly weren't ignored, because the letter says that they became an example to all believers in Macedonia and southern Greece. They became an example to people in a huge area. The letter says that their faith in God became known everywhere. Well, that wouldn't happen from wearing weird bits of jewellery, would it? And they also said that they suffered much because they were different. So I've come to the conclusion that the church in Thessalonica wasn't seen as weird enough to be ignored. It was actually seen as transformed enough to be persecuted. It wasn't seen as weird enough to be ignored. It was seen as transformed enough to be persecuted. And that's the key. Because, you see, the reason that the people stood out was not because they wore weird jewellery, or they talked in Christian language, or they went to church a lot, or they had some church event. It was because they had become like Jesus. Or, as the letter puts it, because their lives had become like the Lord's. And I don't know about you, but when I think of Jesus' life, I don't think of him standing out because he wore weird jewellery. I don't think of him standing out because he had different clothes, or standing out because he went to church a lot, or he spoke in Christian language, or he had lots of events that he went to. I don't think of Jesus as standing out because of this. I think of him as standing out because of the way he lived, because he loved people, because he cared about people, because he turned life upside down, because he said, life shouldn't be like this. God cares. And in the way he lived and in the way he died, he gave up everything to show people that God loved them. And you know, so if we are to become like these people in Thessalonica, if we are to imitate Jesus as the letter says, if we are to imitate the lives of the apostles as the letter said, of Jesus' friends, then we can't just do it by being changed on the inside. We have to do it by the way we live on the outside as well, when we leave this building and go out each week. I just want to finish with a story. Do you like stories? Oh, in a moment. This is a story about a little boy. And it's a sad story because it happened at the end of World War II. And at the end of World War II, there was a lot of buildings that had been bombed in London. And a lot of people who had lost family, a lot of people who were left homeless, and a lot of people who were orphans. And this little boy was an orphan. And he was wandering the streets at the end of World War II. And he was desperately hungry, and desperately cold, and desperately lonely. And he spotted a bakery that was cooking freshly baked dough for donuts. Imagine that smell. And he stood by the window and he stuck his nose up against the window and he looked in. And just as he was doing that, there was an American soldier who was driving around the corner in his Jeep on the way to his base, which was based in London. And he drove around and he saw this little boy with his nose pressed against the window. And he pulled up and he stopped and he got out. And he said, do you want a donut? And the little boy said, oh, yes, please, yes, please. So the American soldier went into the shop and he got a whole bag of freshly baked donuts. And he came out and he handed them to the little boy and he went, there you are, have them all.
And the little boy couldn't believe it, and he grabbed the bag. And the soldier turned around to go, and the little boy grabbed at the side of his coat and tugged at it. And the soldier turned back, and the boy just looked at him in the eye, and he said, "Mister, mister, are you God? Are you God?" And you know, that soldier hadn't done anything much, but he'd done something practical to show this little boy that there was love. And because he'd done that, the little boy wondered whether he was God. And you see, if we're changed on the inside by Jesus, no one is going to know unless we're changed on the outside too. Ignatius said this, "My dear Jesus, my Saviour, is so deeply written in my heart that I feel confident that if my heart were to be cut open and chopped to pieces, the name of Jesus would be found written on every single piece." You know, if we're changed to the extent that every part of our heart is full of Jesus, then every part of our life must surely show this too. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you that you can change lives, that you can make a difference in people's lives, that you can reach into the most hurt life and the most happy life, and you can make them better. But Lord, I pray that if we know you this morning, that you would help us to be people who are changed all the way through, people who stand for you in all situations, people who love in all situations, people who imitate you, whether we're at school or at work or at home, but imitate you with the whole of their lives. Please give us the ability to do that, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn together this morning, which is called "Take My Life and Let It Be." It's number 519. And maybe you might want to use this as a song to recommit yourself to God. Maybe you might want to use it as a song in which you can say, "Take my life, the whole of my life, and allow me to live for you in everything I do." Let's stand together and sing 519. Remain standing. And now, as we finish our service together and look forward to time to talk and have lunch, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. So may the blessing of God be among us. And remain with us always. Amen. Please be seated.